Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Moret. This is Scripture Verse by Verse, and today we finish the Gospel of Luke. We come today to Luke chapter 24, and we begin our study in verse 25. So, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 25 here on Scripture Verse by Verse, and let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is walking down the road to Emmaus on Resurrection Sunday with a couple of disciples who are distraught because they think he's still dead. And they're feeling sad, and Jesus is listening to them. And then he responds in verse 25. Says that he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They are foolish ones. The reason that Jesus called them foolish is because they were slow to believe the Bible. God will never call anyone who has a lower than average IQ. He will never call anyone like that foolish. But if you don't believe his word, or if you're slow to believe the Bible, then God would say that you are foolish because there's no reason not to believe the word of God. It is God's word, after all. And God himself says that it's purified seven times before it even hits the pages of Scripture, and it was pure to begin with. No reason not to believe the word of God. No reason to be slow to believe the word of God either. If God has said it, believe it. Don't get a second opinion. Don't think about it. If it's on the pages of Scripture, believe it. It's the word of God. And then goes on in verse 26 to say, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In other words, Jesus says, wasn't it supposed to be this way? Of course. The Messiah was supposed to suffer. He was supposed to die. He was supposed to be raised on the third day. That's what the Bible teaches. And they should have known this. 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus began in the book of Genesis and went through the entire Old Testament, through the last book, the book of Malachi, teaching from Scripture the things concerning him, so that their faith would rest in Scripture. That's where Jesus directed them to, the Bible. He wants us to get our understanding of spiritual things from the written Word of God and from nowhere else. Verse 28, and they drew near unto the village to which they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And so the three men begin to, well, they're getting close to Emmaus, and the two disciples, they begin to take the Emmaus exit, as it were, and Jesus just kind of continues down the highway. And you know why he didn't go with them? It wasn't because he didn't like them or didn't enjoy their company. It's because he had not been invited. Not yet, he hasn't been, and Jesus never goes where he's not invited. He won't force himself on you. If you're not a Christian and you don't want Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior, he's not going to force it. He'll leave you be. If you want to die and go to hell, he'll let you do that. He won't be happy about it, but he will honor your free will, and he won't force himself on you at all. And if you're a Christian, he won't force his fellowship on you. He wants to enjoy your fellowship. He wants you to have that blessing, but he's not going to force it. If you don't want to spend time with him in the Word of God and in prayer, he's not going to make you do it. He'll let you go on your unmerry way. If you want to live with unconfessed sin in your life, and therefore cut off his fellowship, go ahead. That's up to you. He's not going to force you to like him and want to be with him. Verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So they would not take no for an answer. They've been enjoying his fellowship, and they don't want it to end. They crave more. And so they say, you know what? Do you want to continue walking for? What? It's getting late. You need some place to stay. You need something to eat. Come and stay with us, and we'll feed you. Because they enjoyed his fellowship, because he gave them the word of God. And I'll tell you something. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, and you enjoy time with Jesus through the word of God and prayer, you know, you can't wait to crack open that Bible again. You can't wait to be taught the scripture again. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. So Jesus kind of takes charge here, doesn't he? And this was not his house. And as far as we know, it wasn't his bread either. And yet he took charge. He's the one who distributed the bread. He's the one who broke the bread. He's the one who said the blessing over the bread. Why did he take charge? Because as Lord, he is the spiritual leader. And spiritual leaders, whether it's Jesus himself or Christians who are filled with the Spirit today, they take charge. They do what needs to be done. They do the right thing. They don't wait for somebody else to do it. They don't wait for a consensus of opinions before they do it. They just do it. If it's the right thing, they do it. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And so when Jesus had finished teaching them everything that he needed to teach them from Scripture, he vanishes into thin air. What an exclamation mark to the fact that Jesus is the risen Lord. They know it now for sure. And how about that resurrected body of our Lord's? Pretty neat, huh? It could vanish into thin air. Yours will too, because the Bible says that you're going to be like Christ. You're going to be raised in the body that goes into the grave just like Jesus was, and that's going to be an amazing thing. Reminds me of quantum physics or quantum mechanics. You know, it's the theory, or maybe it's a fact in some cases, at least with microscopic things that scientists either can or in theory someday believe that they will be able to cause an object to dematerialize and materialize in an entirely different place without even traveling. And of course, you couldn't do that today, because according to that theory, you would have to die and then be resurrected in another place. And that's not going to happen, but perhaps in your resurrected body, that is the process that will be used. Who knows? Things are going to be much different and much better and much more exciting, I would say. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us along the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't we feel good when Jesus was teaching us the word of God? And they did. Remember how sad they were when they were walking to Emmaus? Remember how sad they were? They were talking about the events of that weekend. And I said it last week, I said, they're going to remain sad until Jesus gives them the word of God. And they did, and then he did, and then they were encouraged on the inside. The word of God will bless you. The word of God will strengthen your faith. It will encourage your spirit, even in the midst of sad situations, because it gets you to focus on what is real. It gets you to focus on God. And he straightens out our thinking, and that's very encouraging to us. 33, and they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them. Well, whatever was so important in Emmaus that caused them to return there, they immediately dropped when they realized that Jesus Christ was back from the dead. They didn't even finish supper. They hightailed it out of Emmaus just as fast as they could, and they made a beeline back for Jerusalem and for the disciples and the 11 apostles who were still in the upper room behind closed doors. They can't wait to get there and tell them that Jesus Christ is back from the dead. So they get there. But you know, the people in that upper room had something to say to these two disciples. Notice what they said in verse 34. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And so the Lord Jesus Christ beat these two disciples back to Jerusalem, got back there a lot faster than they did, which I suppose isn't surprising in light of how he did it, in light of how he traveled. He even had time to appear to Peter before these two got back to Jerusalem. Peter now knows that Jesus is back from the dead. He went and told the disciples and the other apostles. And so by the time these two guys get back to Jerusalem, the resurrection is already old news. Verse 35, and they told what things were done along the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So the two disciples told the rest of the gang what had been done as they and Jesus walked to Emmaus, the things that were done. Well, when you think about it, not much was done. Nothing really was done other than walking, and Jesus taught them the Word of God. But you see, when the Word of God is taught, when it is proclaimed, when it is read, something is done. It's not just reading. It's not just accumulating facts. Something is being done. God does something when the Word of God is read or proclaimed. And that's because the Bible, the Word of God, is living and powerful and spiritual and active. And the Bible says that God's Word does not come back to him void. Whenever it is proclaimed, God stirs things up. Something is done. It's alive. And let's stop right there and let's take our break, our new feature that we started last week, question and answer time. And so we'll do that right now. We'll be back in a couple of minutes and conclude our study in the Gospel of Luke.
It's halftime, which means it's time to answer one of your questions. Here's Mike with today's answer.
Okay, our question today comes from a lady who wrote and asked, why is the old heaven and earth going away? In other words, I suppose, why is God going to destroy the present heavens and earth? Well, the answer is the destruction of the present heavens and earth are a part of God's judgment on this sinful world. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, by the same word, the Word of God, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. They are a part of God's judgment on this world. 2 Peter 3:12 says, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. So, it's a part of God's judgment, and it certainly will happen. God's word says it. But keep in mind that the destruction of this present world will in no way affect you if you are a Christian. Before this destruction occurs, Christians will already be raised from the dead and changed into their glorified bodies. So you're not going to die in the destruction of this world. You're not going to feel any pain. There will be no adverse effect on you at all if you are a Christian. Now, where Christians will be when that destruction occurs, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But we do know that God will immediately create a new heaven and a new earth where we will live forever in our resurrected bodies. So, thanks for that question.
If you would like to submit a question, you can write, email, or call. The address is Scripture Verse by Verse, P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Email versebyverse@live.com. Again, that's versebyverse@live.com. Or call 715-845-8298. That's 715-845-8298. And leave your question on our voicemail.
We are back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, picking it up in verse 36. Now, Jesus is about to appear to his disciples. Verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. So, without hearing any footsteps, without hearing the door open or close, all of a sudden, Jesus appears out of thin air to his disciples and his apostles behind locked doors. No wonder his word to them was, Peace be unto you. That is exactly what they needed to hear. That will be the case with you too. God will speak to you exactly what you need to hear. If you put yourself in a position to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, then as you do that, God will speak to your heart exactly what you need to hear. You see, these apostles and these disciples put themselves in a position to hear the Word of God, and that's why they heard what was perfect for them at that time. God is faithful, and He will do that for you. 37. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Well, they believed that Jesus was back from the dead. They just didn't understand that he was back in the same body that went into the grave. This was resurrection. They didn't get that. They thought he came back as a ghost. They thought he was a spook, a poltergeist or something. I mean, they thought they were in the middle of a horror movie. And that's why they were terrified. That's why they were afraid. Verse 38, and he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And the why was a great question. Why indeed? And I can tell you why. And of course, Jesus knew why. It's because they didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe all the Old Testament scriptures that taught that Jesus would come back from the dead physically. They didn't believe that. They didn't believe our Lord's own words when he told them many times that he would be raised after 3 days. They didn't believe it. That's why these thoughts arose in their heart, and that's why they were terrified. And I'm telling you, if you don't put the Word of God in your soul, if you don't read it, you don't study it, you don't listen to it being taught, then something is going to move in and fill that spiritual vacuum, and that something is going to be contrary to the Word of God, and that something is going to cause thoughts to arise in your heart, and those thoughts at times are going to be terrifying, frightening, and very disturbing. And so that's the importance of being in the Word of God. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 39, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and blood, or flesh and bones, I should say, as you see I have. Jesus says, check me out, touch me, look at me. This is a body, I'm not a ghost. This is the same body that went into the grave. It came out, I am a physical being. Jesus says, look, I've got flesh and bones, and you will also. In your resurrected body, you will have flesh and bones. But did you notice one thing that was missing from our Lord's body? Something that you have today? It had flesh. It had bones. It didn't have blood. And neither will you. You won't need blood. Say, we won't need blood. We need blood to stay alive. Yes, today you do. In fact, the Bible says that the life of a body is in the blood. You know what happens when you wake up in the middle of the night and you maybe laid on your arm or on your shoulder the wrong way, and you wake up in the middle of the night and your arm had fallen asleep. Well, it feels like you're feels like a big club is connected to your shoulder. Dead weight. That's because the blood was cut off. And of course, when blood is cut off from a person's brain, they have a stroke and their brain cells die. When blood is cut off from a person's heart, their heart cells die. They have a heart attack. But that will not be the case in our resurrected body. The Bible says that our bodies are sown a natural body, but they are raised a spiritual body. So we won't have blood going through our veins. We will have the Spirit of God going through our veins, as it were, and the Holy Spirit will keep us alive. Verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here anything to eat? Notice they did not believe because of joy. It was too good to be true. They couldn't grasp it. They would not accept it. It was just too good. There is something about human beings in this present condition that we are in, fallen state because of sin, that has affected our mind's ability to grasp things on both ends of the spectrum. When things are really, really bad, when something terrible happens, we say, it just seems so surreal. It just doesn't seem possible. And our minds don't go there. It just doesn't seem like it's possible. And you know what happens when something terrible takes place? Oftentimes our bodies go into shock. We just can't handle it. We don't go there mentally. And the same thing often occurs when something great happens. Well, it's too good to be true. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that this happened to me. No way. And we refuse to accept it. And that is exactly what happened with the disciples. They could not believe, even though Jesus was standing there literally in the flesh, they didn't believe it because it was such a joyful thing. Verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Well, if they need any more proof of the fact that Jesus is back physically, I don't know what he can do. He just ate broiled fish. If Jesus is a ghost, if he is a spirit, then when he puts that fish up to his mouth, it falls right to the ground because there's nothing to catch it. But he ate it. He consumed it. He is in a physical body. And then he had dessert. Yeah, he had honeycomb. That was dessert in those days. Do you realize that you're going to eat in your resurrected body? Well, you won't eat in order to sustain your life like you do today. You will eat purely for enjoyment. And you'll even have dessert in your resurrected body. I bet you don't think about that. Maybe you've never thought about that. But you're going to be eating, and you'll even enjoy dessert on the new heavens, the new earth, in your resurrected body. Something neat to think about. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Again, Jesus points them back to Scripture. He wants them to base their faith on the written word of God. That's why he's constantly doing that. He doesn't even want them to put their faith primarily in what they are experiencing. Although their experience is real, he still points them to the word of God. Here, believe all these things are true because God's word says it. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Well, you know, they probably knew the Scriptures that spoke of the resurrection of the Lord and even the death of the Messiah, because especially Jewish boys, boy, they had to really study the Scriptures. They had to memorize a lot of Bible passages. So they probably had these Scriptures in their head, but they never grasped the meaning of them until Jesus opened their understanding. Then it clicked. And the same thing needs to happen today. That's why it's so important before you read the Bible or before you study it or before you hear it taught that you pray. That's why I pray before I teach the Scripture, so that God will open up our understanding. And when he does, It jumps out at us. You get the meaning of it and how it applies to you. 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Again, he points them to Scripture, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. A couple of very important things said by Jesus here in verse 47. Number one, repentance and remission of sins must be preached in his name. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. You must repent or you will not be forgiven. And yet we have some so-called evangelical leaders in the world today, modernists, who say, never, ever tell an unsaved person, a lost sinner, that they need to repent of their sins. Never tell a lost sinner that they need to repent of their sins? Well, then what in the world was Jesus saying? What Bible are they reading? Not this one. It just boggles my mind that they can say things like that. Repentance and remission of sins should be proclaimed where? To all nations. Jesus didn't say, proclaim it to Western Europe and to the New World when you find it, but leave India alone because, after all, they have Hinduism. Leave China alone because they have Buddhism. Leave Haiti alone because, after all, they have voodoo. They don't need it. No, they need it. They need Jesus. Everybody does. Verse 47. Actually, verse 48. He says, and you are witnesses of these things. And they were. They proclaimed the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So I want you to go out and I want you to proclaim the word of God, but don't open your mouth and say anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And that was very important because the Holy Spirit in these disciples, he is the one who gave their preaching power and conviction and worked in the hearts of those who heard the word of God to create faith. You can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So the last picture that they saw of Jesus was him standing before them with outstretched arms, giving them a blessing. And then he began to defy gravity, and he ascended into heaven and disappeared into a cloud. And so that picture of Jesus blessing them was no doubt indelibly engraved in their minds until the day that they died. 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And no one had to tell them it was time to worship Jesus. They experienced the Lord, and they worshiped, and it was spontaneous. And if you spend time with God in the Word of God, in prayer, and you are a Christian, your worship of Jesus will be very spontaneous. It'll be the most natural thing in the world. If you would like to be a part of this ministry, you can be with your prayers and your financial support. The address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. Your prayers, your financial support are greatly appreciated. And don't forget about the Scripture Verse by Verse website. If you want to study the Bible, you can do that. Just go to thebibleversebyverse.com, and you can study the entire Bible online using my audio Bible commentaries. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. If you would rather email your questions or your comments to me, you can do that. The email address is versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Or you can call your questions, as Aaron said earlier, and leave your questions or your comments on the answering machine. That telephone number is 715-845-8298, 715-845-8298. Thank you for listening, and have yourself a good week. Till next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.